In seminary, we had a good reflection on angels, a really powerful development of how we come to understand them and what it is that we've come to learn about angels. And one of the things that fascinates me most is just truly remarkable is how angels come to know things. We learn through our experience. We gain knowledge through people sharing it with us. Angels do not have bodies. They know things because God gives them knowledge. And in that knowledge, they not only know this, but they see its full impact of whatever it is that they know. We can spend a lot of time unpacking what we learn and seeing how it applies to various things. It can take us a great deal of time, but angels just know it, so it's immediate. One of the things that this does is that angels, when they make decisions, have no regrets because they understand the full impact of their decision in the moment that they choose, that they make their choice. Because of this, they don't have regrets, and they don't change their minds because they have no need to. They know how it's going to play out. They know how it's going to be, and so they really don't care because they've already made their decision and they stand by it. On the other hand, we make changes all the time. We constantly adjust and we learn things. We see the full impact of things. We see the larger consequence of our actions, and it becomes more and more apparent to us that maybe we did or didn't want to do something that in our past. It is this learning process. This is part of who we are. And it actually is one of these great moments for us to consider, how would we like to be judged for the lowest moment in our life? How would anyone like to be held accountable for that worst judgment we ever made? For that lowest moment in our life where we really didn't think it through, or we really didn't consider the full impact, or we didn't have all the details or all the facts that we probably should have. It's a truly terrifying thought to think that we might be judged for our worst moment, for our weakest moment, for our lowest point. And really, while an angel would have no fear of that, because each angel's decision, he stands by it, we're not angels. And these limitations that we have, these failings we have from time to time, they are actually important moments for us to realize that we shouldn't have to be held accountable for that lowest moment. I'd love to tell you it only happened in my childhood, but it even happens today. I still make those choices, and my mother's usually the regular voice that'll look at me and say, "What were you thinking?" And of course, I have that cleverest of answers, "I don't know." And there it is. We have these decisions that we make, and we see it in the gospel. We see it in the first reading. Peter says to the people of Jerusalem, he says, "Look, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that you've known, the God that you've lived with, grown up with, the very one and the same who you have followed after, he gave us one of his own. He gave us his glorified servant, Jesus. And what did we do with him? We killed him." Remember, no matter how bad you think the thing in your life that you've done, consider for a moment, did you actually personally hand over God to be executed? And while we do participate in that through our sin, there is that great reproach from Peter. He says, "You handed him over. You denied him in Pilate's presence. You asked for a murderer to be released instead of him. And him, the author of life, God's chosen son, you killed him." And Peter doesn't say this to make us feel bad. Peter doesn't say this as a reproach. He doesn't say, "You did this, now go home and sit in your corners and feel bad about yourself and think about all the things that you've done." No, that's not what he says. He says, But God raised him from the dead. He brought about newness of life. He gave us all a chance to come back to him. He gave us all a chance to return to him because he rose from the dead. And out of ignorance, we made those choices. We didn't do it right the first time, and we ignored the things that we should have. But he rose from the dead. And everything is made new because he rose from the dead. It is this great reminder to us that the resurrection has made all things new. That's why Peter ends not with, "Go feel bad," or "You should feel awful," or "Everything was terrible." No, he says, "Repent, be converted, that your sins might be wiped away." Because this resurrection, it brings about that new possibility. It reminds us that we don't have to be held to our worst moment in our life, that we don't have to be tied down to that worst decision we ever made, or that weakest moment in our life, or those most desperate hours. It's not that we have to be completely held and buried by that one moment, but rather, through the resurrection, we have repentance, we have forgiveness, we have something new. Consider for a moment the gospel. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they walk along and they're so convinced of, that they're right and that they knew everything was going on, but then Jesus died and then the whole thing's coming apart. And they meet a traveler on the way who turns out to be Jesus, but they don't know it at first. And he reveals to them through the scripture all of the things that had to be fulfilled. They realize that there was more to it than they were looking at. And he becomes revealed to them in the breaking of the bread. And they realize it's Jesus. And in that moment where they know it's him, he vanishes. So they get up from Emmaus, and they sprint back to Jerusalem, and they start telling the apostles, you're never going to believe what happened. They start describing what happened, and they're excited about it. It's incredible. And as they're finishing, as they're recounting, Jesus stands in their midst, and he doesn't say, man, you guys really screwed up. He doesn't say, I picked the worst friends. You all bailed on me. He doesn't even say, boy, you should be ashamed of yourselves. No, he says, peace be with you. He stands in their midst, abandoned by all of them in his hour of need. They ran away. And he says, peace be with you. And they don't say much else. And they're convinced he's a ghost. They are sure of it. He died. They saw him die. He can't possibly be alive. He can't possibly be real. Not only that, he just appeared in a locked room. How could he possibly be flesh and blood? He says, whatever it is that you need, come here. Touch my hand. Feel my wound. Whatever it is that you need to know that I am alive, that I stand before you, that I am as real as you think I should be, despite the fact that you know I died, come do that. Touch that wound. Grab my hand. Have you got anything to eat? Remember, ghosts don't eat anything. I mean, they're ghosts. Do you have anything to eat? It's not that Jesus was terrible at planning lunch. No, he was trying to show them that he was really there. They gave him a piece of baked fish. He stood in their midst and he ate it. In front of them, on purpose, because he was real, flesh and blood, solid, right there in front of them. And no matter what it is that they did, no matter the fact that they walked with him for 3 years, and he revealed all of this was going to take place, despite the fact that he explained to them that this was part of what was going to happen, despite the fact that he had taught them an entire new approach, a love of neighbor, a totally new approach on how to live in the life of God, they screwed up. They ran away. And he says, peace be with you. As we celebrate this third Sunday, this third Sunday of Easter, as we come into this incredible season, what we need to remember is that the resurrection makes all things new. And that in the resurrection, we have a chance for reconciliation, for renewal, for rebirth, a new possibility of living in life with God. And really, it challenges us in two ways today. The first of which is the obvious. No matter what we've done, we can return back to God. No matter how bad we've been, we have a chance to return to God, to be restored to Him, to be brought about to something greater, to be made new. The second challenge is that if we're not judged at our lowest moment, if we are to live into the life of God, neither should we judge others at their lowest moment. That this resurrection that makes all things new, this new life in Christ that gives us those possibilities, it's not just for God to forgive us, but so that we might forgive each other. That we might live into this resurrection in life and remember that through God, all of these things are possible. And we can be brought to something greater. It starts with God's peace. And through that example, it extends to each and every one of us.
Peace be with you.